Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moweta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, let's begin in the southern U.S. city of Birmingham, Alabama. That's where there were three big fights over the weekend, two in the heavyweight division and one in the junior middleweight class. Izu Ugono, the Black Pole, he made his USA debut as a prize fighter after fighting exclusively in Poland and New Zealand. He suffered a fifth-round TKO by American Dominic Brazil. But I think overall, Nnamdi, the report card on Izu is very good.
Sonny, Izu Agbe Ugono against Dominic Brazil. All action heavyweight slugfest. Awesome fight. Still the talk of the boxing world because it was all action and drama. And in the heavyweight division, you know how they run around the ring for 12 rounds? These two guys were like dropping bombs, Sonny. And also to remind you, there were four knockdowns and guys getting off the canvas after kissing the canvas and then coming back with bombs and blows. And it was a good heavyweight fight for a Saturday night on free television all over the USA.
I agree with you, Nnamdi. Action-packed fight. I watched the bout. Maybe the fight of the year so far?
He's been mentioned as a candidate for fight of the year. Not only fight of the year, but the round of the year in the third round, where Izu Agbe came strong trying to finish Dominic Brazil in the beginning of the third round, and Brazil came from nowhere and then dropped some bombs, and Izu went down, and he was just sunny, man. It was all action and lots of fun.
Do you think Izu has to learn from that now, Nnamdi, that maybe he started too fast in the fight?
Son, you just brought up a good point right there. If you see in the first round, he started real fast and he didn't really pace himself. And if you don't pace yourself, you run out of gas. You'll be fighting an empty tank in the later part of the fight. I was worried for him because I wanted him to pace himself and a few little things he needed to work on. Just like when you're in trouble, tie up your man, allow the referee to break you, because when you tie up the guy, then the referee breaks you, gives you a few seconds. And that's the difference, because Dominic Brazil was able to tie up Izu Agbe. Also remember, Dominic Brazil outweighed Izu by 40 pounds. So imagine a guy heavier than you, laying on you, taller than you, because Brazil was taller and bigger than Izu Agbe. All in all, few little things homeboy needs to work on, and he'll will be a force in the heavyweight division, because go back and look at the body work. When was the last time you saw a heavyweight snatching the body? Combinations, sharp jabs, good jabs, you know, fast hands, quick hands. When was the last time you saw heavyweight like that?
Great body shots by Izu. Ooh. Nnamdi. Would you say that's one of his strengths?
One of his strengths was body shots. Not only that, look at his footwork, Sonny. For a big boy, he was able to move. He was able. The only thing he needs to work on is his defense, Sonny. With a tight defense, he's unbeatable. And Sonny, remind you too that this was a big step up for Izu Agbe. He's never fought a world-ranked fighter. And coming to go against a Dominic Brazil on a level like that, you got to give him kudos.
Nnamdi, what's been the reaction by boxing fans to Izu's performance?
Oh, Sonny, we all loved it. I mean, all the critics, everybody said, wow, we have a new heavyweight that would bring it on and stand and fight, not just hold and lazy around for 12 rounds. A heavyweight that would go to the body and try to tear up the body. A heavyweight that will just take it to you, bring it on. We've not seen that unless you say Anthony Joshua. Few things he needs to work on, and once he works on that, couple of knockouts on TV, he'll be ready to challenge for the title before the year runs out.
Will he be staying here in the USA at this point, Namdi?
They're returning to New Zealand with his trainer, and then he's been promised a couple of TV dates, and that's going to happen, and we'll see him again in late spring, and maybe a couple of fights in the summer. By the end of the year, he'll be ready to take on these pretenders who are paper champions.
Okay. Namdi, in the second fight of the night in Birmingham, Jarrett Hurd won the IBF junior middleweight title. He scored a ninth round TKO of fellow American Tony Harrison. Hurd Harrison, another good fight, Namdi.
Another good fight, a knockout where the fighter got counted out because he was in deep trouble. Here we get to see a young, new champion in the junior middleweight division. I don't see him hanging around that division that much because he's a big junior middleweight, big super welterweight. So he will end up becoming a middleweight whereby he will challenge Triple G in the future.
The headliner in Birmingham was the WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder. He retained his WBC crown with a fifth round TKO of fellow American Gerald Washington. Your impressions of Wilder, Namdi?
Sonny, I'm not impressed, though, with the bronze bomber. He made $900,000 for that fight, Sonny. He didn't really show me nothing, really. Yes, he got a big right hand, but when you take out that right hand, his defense was way, way open. He fought a guy that just, he could take out any moment, but he just, oh, Sonny, man. If that was Anthony Joshua, or even a good Izu Agbe, he'll be in deep trouble. This guy is all hype, and I don't think he will last against Anthony Joshua, even Vladimir Klitschko, because he didn't really show me anything. It's all hype, all talk, you know, challenge. He even had enough to take on Dominic Brazil in the lobby after the fight. $900,000, Sonny, that's no chicken change, bro.
Namdi, the bronze bomber, was coming off a broken right hand and torn bicep muscle in his last fight. Could that have affected his performance?
Yeah, but he had time to heal, Sonny. Come on, man. I mean, he fought a nobody, really. I mean, this is his fifth title defense, and he's been fighting bombs, Sonny. It's about time he steps it up. And the only way he can step, well, we cannot blame him because a couple of guys tested positive for steroids. So, but at least for a world champion, this is your fifth defense, and they keep throwing on these guys. You can just go blow out and you make $1,900,000. Hey, bro, step up, take on Anthony Joshua, Vladimir Klitschko, then we know you for real.
Namdi, earlier you were talking about how much heavier Brazil was compared to Izu, the Black Pole. What about Wilder? He strikes me as kind of small for a heavyweight at roughly 220 pounds.
Well, he doesn't have the body fat or the rubber around the waist, you know. He's always in good shape and slim, long arms, so in terms of weight, he takes good care of himself. He's not that fat, lazy, blobby heavyweight, you know.
Would Wilder go up against somebody like Joshua or Klitschko or one of the big-name heavyweights later this year, Namdi?
Well, he has to go for what we call the WBC mandatory fight against Brahman Steven, who he knocked out in the past. Brahman Steven is from Haiti. Again, it's a no fight. The fans don't want to see this fight. I mean, step away and fight the big guys, the big names. You fought Brahman Steven before you knocked him out. What kind of a mandatory is that? It's just a useless fight. So he will do that fight, and then he will wait and see what will happen between Joshua and Klitschko. And then maybe they will throw in Izu Agbe towards the end of the year because it's the same promoter and manager, Al Haymon, that owns all these guys.
Namdi, Saturday night in Brooklyn, New York, Barclays Arena, a welterweight showdown between Americans Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman. How's this one shaping up?
Sonny, this is another fight that could end up becoming fight of the year. unification bout, the two welterweights, the best on the planet today. They come to fight, and they bring it on. They have power, they have speed, and they're young, both undefeated, all action. And again, this fight, Sonny, is on free television, CBS, on a Saturday night. You can't go wrong. We're talking about eyeballs in millions, Sonny.
Who do you like between Garcia and Thurman Namdi?
I like both guys, but I really like Danny Garcia. But Danny Garcia has been protected by his promoter and management. Keith Thurman can be exposed, but I like to see Danny Garcia win, whereby there may even be a talk of Danny Garcia against Floyd Mayweather down the line, because Garcia is from Puerto Rico. He can draw, and he's a good action fighter, and he's young. And I think that's the kind of names we need in boxing today. But on the other hand, Keith Thurman is a good fighter. He's a great fighter, too. So even the match is a 50-50 fight. It's anybody's fight, but I'll go with Danny Garcia.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Muayta. And we'll hear more verbal jabs from Namdi later this week, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. And another Sunny Side of Sports programming note, during Thursday's show, we'll hear an interview that Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori did with Ghana's undefeated super bantamweight fighter, Isaac Dogbe, the Sunny Side of Sports Prospect of the Year for 2016.
Keep on Sunny Side, always on Sunny Side. Keep on Sunny Side of Life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on Sunny Side of Life.
In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, my magical Washington Wizards waved their wands and beat the visiting Golden State Warriors 112-108, blemishing the record of the NBA's top club. Star guards Bradley Beal and John Wall led the Wizards to their 35th victory of the season against 23 defeats. Beal had a game-high 25 points, matching the point total of Golden State star Stephen Curry, while John Wall had 12 points while matching a career high with 19 assists. Golden State lost its 10th game of the season. The Warriors lead the NBA with 50 wins. But the Warriors lost more than just a game. They also lost Kevin Durant, their leading scorer and top offseason acquisition. Early in the first quarter, Durant limped off the court after teammate Zaza Pachulia inadvertently fell into him. The Warriors say Durant suffered a knee sprain and a bone bruise and is out indefinitely and will be reevaluated in 4 weeks. Meanwhile, Tuesday night was a big night for twin brothers Markieff Morris of the Wizards and Marcus Morris of the Detroit Pistons. Markieff scored 22 points for the Wizards in their big win over the Warriors, while Marcus scored a career-high 37 points, including Detroit's first seven in overtime, as the Pistons powered past the visiting Portland Trailblazers in overtime, 120-113. In Oklahoma City, it was another triple-double for the Thunder's all-star guard, Russell Westbrook. He tallied 43 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists to lead the Thunder past the Utah Jazz 109-106. It was Westbrook's 30th triple-double of the season. Remember, VOA basketball fans, a triple-double is double figures in three different statistical categories. Serbian center Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets posted his third triple-double of the season, recording 19 points, 16 rebounds, and 10 assists as the Nuggets scored a 125-107 road victory over the Chicago Bulls. In two more NBA results Tuesday night, the host Memphis Grizzlies beat the Phoenix Suns 130-112, and the Charlotte Hornets scored a 109-104 road victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. In more NBA news, DeMarcus Cousins, recently acquired by the New Orleans Pelicans in a trade with the Sacramento Kings, has been suspended one game without pay for drawing his 18th technical foul of the season. The NBA says the 26-year-old Cousins will miss Wednesday night's home game in New Orleans against the Detroit Pistons. Cousins is a three-time NBA All-Star, and he won a gold medal with the USA at last year's Olympic basketball tournament in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. But as all those technical fouls indicate, Cousins has struggled with his temper and his behavior on the court. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending on this Wednesday?
Well, of course, the big story yesterday here in Washington, D.C. was President Trump's joint address to Congress. But just about 3 or 4 kilometers down the road at the same time, another huge story here in D.C., and that was the Washington Wizards beating the Golden State Warriors at the Verizon Center here in Washington.
Big win for the Wizards.
Big win for the Wizards. And as excited as the Wizard fans are on social media, that's how disappointed the Golden State Warriors fans are that they had this loss, and particularly disappointed with Kevin Durant leaving the game with that knee injury, as he reported on earlier. A lot of question marks being raised on social media, a lot of worries among Golden State fans if he's going to make it back in a timely fashion, if it's going to be a prolonged absence, and what effect that might have on the team. So, like we said, a lot of question marks going on. And to add insult to injury, literally insult to injury, after last night's injury to Kevin Durant, we're celebrating today, March 1st, Golden State Warriors Day. And this is because when we write the date here in the U.S., we do month, day, year. So it's 3-1-2017. So 3-1, they gave up, of course, that 3-1 series lead in the NBA Finals. Yeah, it's, like I said, insult to injury. Yeah, so a lot of people saying happy Golden State Warriors Day. I don't think that they're Golden State Warriors fans who are wishing people happy Golden State Day, since it's not particularly a happy occasion to mark. I did see some people also calling it Cleveland Indians Day. Of course, they also had a 3-1 World Series lead and gave that up. So also calling it that, but primarily Golden State Warriors Day. So ouch for them.
Regarding Kevin Durant, Andrew, he's from the Washington area. And I imagine quite a few fans that went to the game last night probably were hoping to see Durant in action, but he wasn't on the court very long.
Yeah, even ahead of the game, there was speculation about whether he'd be booed, whether he'd be cheered. And then fans, unfortunately, didn't get to see him play as much as they wanted to once he got off the court.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, in addition to the big speech on Capitol Hill, there was something else that was going on earlier in the day, sports related, and that was a congressional committee hearing about anti-doping efforts. And this made big news for one of the people testifying, and that was none other than Michael Phelps, of course, the esteemed American Olympian multi-gold medal winner. I've lost track of how many gold medals he's won.
The most decorated Olympian in history.
Yes.
Lots of gold medals. Why don't we leave it at that?
Lots of gold medals. So he was Michael Phelps was on Capitol Hill yesterday testifying before this congressional committee about efforts to prevent doping and anti-doping efforts. And he was there encouraging Congress to act and do something about this. He was joined by Adam Nelson, who is himself a gold medal winner, but for shot put. A lot of fans saying it was odd to see Michael Phelps all dressed up in a suit. They don't think they've ever seen him dressed up like that before. They're used to seeing him in the pool anyway. But Phelps made some headlines with some of the things that he said, saying that he guaranteed that U.S. athletes are clean, prompted some doubt from social media. They said, come on, that can't possibly be true. And he was under oath at that. So a lot of, you know, doubts about the cleanliness of U.S. athletes in terms of their doping. Phelps did say that he suspected throughout his career that some athletes were cheating. In some cases, those suspicions have been confirmed among his competitors from other countries. And again, really pushing for a crackdown on doping to really amp up those anti-doping efforts in U.S. athletics.
I mentioned Kevin Durant being from Washington. Phelps, kind of a local athlete himself from Baltimore. Not too far from our VOA headquarters.
Yeah, I'd say it's about, do the rough math, 60 or so kilometers up the road from D.C. So good day for the local sports heroes yesterday in Washington.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we mentioned, I think it was last week or the week before, that the new season of Dancing with the Stars here in the U.S. was going to be starting in a few weeks. And the big announcement a few weeks ago was Simone Biles, of course, herself a gold medal winner. Got a lot of gold medal winners today on the show. Simone Biles was going to be joining the cast and performing on Dancing with the Stars. Well, the full cast list has now been announced ahead of the March 20th start, and we have not just Simone Biles, but quite a few other big-name athletes, among them Nancy Kerrigan, who is a two-time Olympic medalist, of course, well-known for her back-and-forth kind of feud with Tanya Harding in
the 1990s.
Right.
Infamous, in some ways.
Infamous feud. We have David Ross, who is a Major League Baseball catcher. He won two World Series in 2013 with the Boston Red Sox and 2016 with the Chicago Cubs. And Rashad Jennings, who's an NFL running back, he most recently played with the New York Giants, but he's currently a free agent. So I guess he has some free time to go out on the dance floor. but already fans are handicapping this a couple weeks ahead of the start, saying that their favorites are Simone Biles and Nancy Kerrigan, that those two athletes throughout their athletic career have had to perform in a way that's very artistic, that deals with a lot of movement. And so they feel that those characteristics and skills will lend themselves well on the dance floor. So,
and I think the way that show is set up, they give scores for the various dancers. So Biles and Kerrigan are used to being judged by the judges holding up scorecards.
Absolutely.
So to speak.
They're going for the perfect 10 because they know that that's how the scoring has worked in their sports in the past. So a lot of anticipation for this, a lot of sports stars. And again, those are the two to watch, Simone Biles and Nancy Kerrigan. They're the early favorites for Dancing with the Stars.
I have not heard Nancy Kerrigan's name in a while, Andrew. I imagine being out there in the spotlight on Dancing with the Stars can perhaps resuscitate your career.
I mean, it already has. I've seen some tweets where people were saying they're going to watch solely because of Nancy Kerrigan. It definitely appeals to a demographic of folks who followed that infamous feud with her and Tanya Harding in the 1990s. So they're even, you know, 20, 25 years later, is still a lot of interest in her career.
We've got about a minute left in the show, Andrew. Anything else trending?
Yeah, so we talked about the senior days going on in NCAA basketball. The schools are honoring the seniors who are graduating. And in Kentucky last night, senior Derek Willis had quite a night. He was honored for being a senior leaving the Kentucky team. And after he's honored on the court, he gets down on one knee and proposes right then and there to his girlfriend. She says yes. Great moment captured on social media, everyone offering their congratulations. And to top it off, Kentucky comes from behind and wins, and Derek Willis hits the go-ahead three with 4.5 minutes left in the game to put Kentucky up, and they never looked back. So
what
Derek
a night.
Willis is having a great night last night, and much congratulations to him and his girlfriend, now fiancé, that he's been engaged. He said he was more nervous about the proposal than he was about the game.
I would call that a gold medal moment, Andrew.
I think so. You can't get much better than that.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the March 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports, beginning a new month. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is continuing to provide food assistance to its partner, Malawi. U.S. Ambassador to Malawi, Virginia Palmer, recently announced a new U.S. donation of $4.6 million to assist Malawian people in need of humanitarian food assistance. This additional donation is in response to the Malawi Vulnerability Assessment Committee's report that 6.7 million Malawians need imminent food assistance to alleviate suffering. Funds will be channeled through the UN World Food Program. Ambassador Palmer said she appreciated President Peta Mutharika's leadership in dealing with the worst food crisis of the Southern Africa drought. She also praised Vice President Saulos Chilima's months-long work to bring all stakeholders to the table to address Malawi's food crisis. Of the $4.6 million, $2.5 million will be used to transport and distribute 10,800 metric tons of maize from the Malawian government's strategic grain reserve, and $2.1 million is education funding, repurposed to fill a critical gap in Malawi's school feeding program. This additional assistance brings the United States government's total contribution to the 2016-2017 Food Insecurity Response Plan to $126 million, equivalent to about one-third of the plan's $395 million estimated cost. Ambassador Palmer pledged that the United States will continue to work with the government of Malawi to break the cycle of food insecurity. Key to this is Malawi's fulfilling its new Alliance for Food Security and Nutrition commitments. These include a review of the Control of Goods Act, which has inhibited investment in food production, and passage of a seed bill consistent with Malawi's commitment to SADC seed harmonization so Malawi's farmers can access and sell quality seeds across the region. Reforms are urgently required to help avoid future food shortages caused not only by climate change, but by the unpredictability of Malawi's maize markets. The United States government continues to stand by Malawians in their time of need, said Ambassador Palmer. But together we recognize that policy and market predictability are critical if Malawi's farmers are to become entrepreneurs, if agribusinesses are to invest, and if Malawi is to transform its agriculture sector from a source of vulnerability into an engine for growth.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the latest political developments in Somalia as the country moves forward under the leadership of newly elected President Mohamed Abdullahi Farmaajo. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this, whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.